Conrad is very nice. Always let me go first. So, this is really nice to be back here. It is very familiar Baptist family that we come back here. And while I was sitting there, I just remember, I believe it's my first time, our first time when we were here. After we share and we were out there having fellowship, I don't remember who's that gentleman, is an older gentleman who has talked to me. He said, "Well, after you share all this, I don't really understand what you are talking about, and I don't really hear what exactly you are talking about. But by looking at you, that we know that God is doing something very exciting in Northern Thailand." And I think after this is our 6th year in Northern Thailand, I think every time when Conrad and I go to a church or go to some events that we need to share, I think the excitement is still there. So I'm hoping that tonight we would like to share with you, even though maybe some of you were at the association meeting yesterday, you might have heard us talking about our presentation, but I don't know what God is giving us words today. Maybe tonight it will be something very different, okay? So we want to share with you what God is doing in Northern Thailand. But this is really something that, very honestly, I think this is our family. So I want to tell you something that is, I was, before we come back here, in fact, I was a little bit like down. And, well, don't expect that we are always exciting. Excited, like jumping up and down. I was a little bit low in spiritually and or even physically. I feel that I'm a bit low. But after I came here, after we had our meeting with our Chinese ministry team in Germany, after that, my energy are all back because I know there's something very special and there's something, a lot of future that we have, a lot of work that God is preparing us to do, like globally, not only just in Northern Thailand, but just all globally in the whole world. That CBM is doing great job. And as you know, in last August, we have started to pick up the position as a team leader. What does a team leader mean? I think we're still learning. Okay, that was August last year. And it's called the Chinese Ministry Team Leader. So that's why we were in Germany visiting our field staff. And we have 3 units in Germany, so we're visiting them. And then also to talk to them and talk to our partner to see how we can set the strategy or goal for our Chinese ministry team globally, to how to proclaim the gospel globally and bring people to, especially the Chinese-speaking people, together, and then hoping that they can bring it all back to China and then to raise up and to proclaim the gospel and more people accepted Jesus Christ. That is what our goal is. So by looking at this, so this is us. That is Conrad and Fiona, and that is the Golden Triangle, which is, I think, a lot of you must have heard, that is Thailand, Laos, and Myanmar. So we are right in the northern part of Thailand that we serve the Lord. Conrad, maybe I'll let you talk.
You want to give me a chance?
Yes, okay. I want to give you the chance. Because I don't want to finish maybe I can talk to 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I think this is the... yes.
Okay, yeah. So happy to be here. And on behalf of the churches and brother and sister from Golden Triangle region, I would say thank you. Thank you to Forest Baptist Church to support your prayer, your financial support. It really means something to the people over there, to the churches over there. What are we doing over there? In fact, that's what God doing over there for the 3 areas. The first of is the education, leadership, development. We are based on the Bible school called the BBI, the Basel Bible Institute. These schools have a 50 years history now. It's the largest Bible school in Thailand for Chinese department. The student, all boarding school, is all stay in the school, eating in the school. It's a little bit over 100 students. Two-thirds of them is Chinese speaking. Well, by the way, the people over there is multicultural, really. They meaning most of everyone can speak three different languages, like Thai, Miami, and Chinese. The people all coming from, the students most of coming from the underprivileged area. So it's no tuition. If you don't have ability to pay, the school is free of charge. The student will stay in the school from 4 years to 6 years. So it's quite intensive training over there. So we train every year. So we have around average around 40 students graduate from the Bible school and been sent into the Golden Triangle area. We would say in the Golden Triangle region, the pastor, I would say the 70% is a graduate from the BBI. So this Bible school is really played a very important role. I've been teaching this Bible school this year, so close to the 14 years. I teach from since 2006, when I was a pastor, a pastor in the Brandon Chinese Baptist Church. So this year, so really close to the 14 years. So being trained a lot of students, trained a lot of pastors in that region, I would say it's very important for the education and train the next generation of pastors over there. So the student every morning, they need to wake up at 5:30 and start morning devotion from 6 to 7. And the class will be start at 8 o'clock. So every day, Tuesday to Friday. Monday and after the Friday, they all go to the churches, have the internship over there. So while they just now learn from the class, also they can practice what they learn in the churches. So this is a graduation picture. it's always happened on the March, middle of March. It's a big event for the school. At that day, I would say have close to 1,000 over the 1,000 people will be in the school. Some representative from churches, some is a student family. So tonight is a very, very big event. To us, it's the same thing. We can see the people, or see the students finish their education training and go to the mission field. It's very good to see them being sent into the capital, most of the area. This is in the class. You can see that Fiona also is there. She's not teaching the Bible, but she's teaching the English. It's also very important for the student to learn the other language. This picture you can talk about a little bit.
Well, this is some like events that we do with the student every Christmas. So we have outdoor Christmas celebration. So every year they will come after the celebration. They will come to every teachers. They will knock at our door and then they will do caroling. You can see on the picture on the left, there is a group of students. They come and they sing and then also they pray for the teacher. So not the teacher praying for them, but they pray for the teacher. And then on the picture on the right, that is all this different minority tribal costume that you can see all this girl, they dress up that on the Christmas day, the Christmas celebration, the event. So they are. This is really nice. That every time we have a bigger event, we always ask everybody to wear their minority tribal costume. So usually they will just bring me something. I'll just wear it so that I'm in the middle. Okay, so the next one, we are doing mentoring, counseling, and coaching for ministry, coaching ministry, which we are doing it for the current student and also for the alumni and also for pastor in the Golden Triangle region. Since Conrad was teaching there 14 years ago, so there is a lot of graduates from the school, and they now become pastor in the Golden Triangle region. So other than just teaching at the school, we think the importance for us to go to visit our students once in a while, that to give them encouragement. And as pastoring in a church is not an easy ministry, not easy for them, especially they go to a village that is nobody else. So they are the only single pastor, sole pastor in a church. So we would try to help them, and maybe we can go and to give them encouragement. And they are always happy to see, oh, teacher is here, our teacher is here. They are exciting because that somebody cares about them. So just show you a few pictures. When we go there, there are some in cities, some are in the villages. So and in Myanmar, in Thailand, so it's everywhere that we will go and visit our students and pray with them. And of course, we have talked about this is the mentoring, the counseling. We do pre-marriage counseling. So in the school, in the past, they were saying that no student is allowed to get to date. So no dating while you are studying the 4 years. But find out that this is not very human. Not a very human thing to do, right? So because like they are early 20, mid 20, late 20. So these are the men, young men and young women. They come in, they attract to each other. So they say, okay, so now from now on, the first year, no dating. Okay, the first year you can observe, okay, to find someone that you probably attracted to. So then, but the second year you can do the dating, but you need to find a counselor to walk alongside you during your dating and until you get married. So which Conrad and I find that a lot of students love us. I don't know why, but maybe because we are older. I think we are the older couple teacher there. So there are many students come to us. 2017, I remember we have counseled seven couples pre-marriage counseling. Last year we have done three. So these are the just some wedding picture we want to show you. Western style, there are some minority tribal people that they're the costume. So this is what we love to do. We love to do that, especially a lot of time that when we see after a few years, now we see they have their children, and now we see a number of babies around now. So that is very good that we, of course, we're hoping that, like praying for them, that their marriage stays strong. And Conrad always joking with our principal of BBI, because usually Reverend Du is the principal of BBI. He is the one who is officiating the wedding. But Conrad usually will be called to do encouragement during the wedding, and also we are doing pre-marriage counseling. So we always say that, okay, if the wedding stays strong, that is Conrad's and Fiona's credit, because we do pre-marriage counseling. But if the wedding, that the marriage did not stay strong, it's Reverend Du's problem, because he officiating that. So we always like, we are good friend with our principal, Reverend Du. So we always joke around with, so whose turn now this time? But they are both, like, because students would love their teacher to attend their wedding. So it's always, if not Reverend Du, is Conrad Kwok. So it's always like they will be at the wedding. Okay, so this is Conrad's specialty here.
I think this drug ministry we have, it's a very important ministry in the Golden Triangle region, because there was the Thailand, Myanmar one time was produced most of illegal drug in the world. Until today, the Chinese government, China still say, announce, say the 70% of illegal drug coming from China, in China is coming from the Myanmar area, the Golden Triangle area. So many people we met, we contact with, is a drug. The usually is from a drug dealer or abuser or whatever. It's a quite high percentage of the people over there, either direct or either indirect, to something to do with a drug. I know when I say this, you cannot really can. It's beyond the people's imagination. Even our school, the student, many of them is previous sometime with hook up with drug, because the environment over there, the society community over there, it's just so easy to get a drug over there. So this we have a drug. The ministry is playing a very important role over there. Usually the Thailand still grow the poppy. Now it's all turned to with the church's help and with the royal family help. Most of the previous they grow the poppy, now they grow the coffee and tea. But the Myanmar still, because the situation is totally different, and they still grow a lot of poppy over there. Even sometimes we have a trip or go over there, we can see the poppy field is still everywhere. So we other partner in the Golden Triangle is called Operation Dawn. They have in this ministry for over close to the 40 years now. So they play a very important role in the Golden Triangle, helping the people to overcome the drug. Like I just say to Ron during the supper today, I say, well, we don't use any medicine there, just only Bible. Everything is just only Bible to help them. So meaning is lead these people to know what the love is, because most of the drug abuser, they lack of love, and people don't love them, and they don't love anybody. So once they get into this village, we just help them to overcome that through the Bible. I think most of the challenge is the first 2 weeks to the 1 month, because at that time, once they need the drug, and the body need the drug, they maybe need to tie it up and help them to get over that important, that I don't know what to say. It's a very difficult challenge time, because they will get to the point they just lost out of control, and they cannot even go to the bathroom and these things. So all need the help from the co-worker in the Operation Dawn. Those co-worker usually is a former drug abuser as well, but now they are it's overcome and they become the co-worker, so they can help these people. So usually they can overcome the body the need that drug. Usually the month can 1 month over they will be okay, but in the mind, in the heart, they still. Sometimes you need to have that temptation with them. So many people is in this village. We have this the program is 18 months. I would say the successful for those people overcome the drug addition as close to 70%. And most of them will become to the Christian and knowing the Bible and then repent and become to the Christian. Even some of among these people, even they do will be they will feel the call and become to the pastor. So they also have the discipleship training center in this village. So the people will get into that the training center to learn the Bible, and even later on go to the BBI, go to the Bible school, so become to the full-time pastor. So you can imagine, you can think about it. The people usually is a drug abuser. They did all the bad things you can imagine. Okay, sometimes because they want one more drug to even they can sell their wife, sell their children. They will rob in the bank. They do whatever they can to just have one more piece of drug. But now, after they become the Christian, they know the law, and we become to the totally like a really is like a new man, just like the Bible say, everything's the past, and now it become the new man. We've seen this every day in the Golden Triangle area. So really, many times I say I really didn't teach them. I don't think I teach them more than I can receive from them, from the testimony from these people. Every time I'm in the class with these people, I feel a lot of encouragement from those people because it's really, Bible is so true. When you see that something happen on these people, it's very, very, every single word from the Bible is true because really that's the power of God. And the man cannot do too much. We cannot just honestly to tell them what the truth is. And that power, that gospel power can really change the life of people. Special for this, we have this drug abuser.
Why don't we show this? I want to just add because you probably see the bottom right, the left hand side picture. You saw all these children. You may ask that, oh, are these children coming here for drug rehabilitation? So in fact, the youngest kids that I have seen to come to the village was 7 years old. Okay, but these are not coming here for drug rehab. This is because all their parents are coming through this program, and Operation Dawn is very good that they will take care of the children while the parents are in the village. That is for 18 months. But a lot of time that after the parents finish the program, they go out and look for jobs and things like that. They cannot take care of the children. Operation Dawn will take care of the children until they finish high school, and they are all free. So Operation Dawn is doing all this because of the gospel. They are not. They don't need to pay anything. This drug abuser coming into the village, they don't need to pay anything. They are all coming in free. So they will only collect a deposit of 5,000 baht, which is 200 Canadian dollars. Okay, they will collect that. If you finish the 18 months program, this $200 will be returned to them. So that means everything is free. Okay, meals, accommodation, everything is free. So that is how these people come in and think that, what is this? Like, why are people doing this to us? Like, this is the love of God. And Conrad always loved this Bible verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel because this is the power of the Lord for those who believe. So this is really, we see literally every day, we see when we go to this village, a lot of time my heart is just like I was like very excited to see these people, and also I also pray for them. Usually Conrad preach every Sunday when he goes there, so I sit at the back. My job is I pray for these drug abuser. I pray for these brothers and sisters. I just pray that God will sustain them so that they don't go back, they don't fall again. So, of course, if there are people that who get rid of their addiction, but they fall again. But one thing is good that they accepted Jesus Christ. They know that where they can going back to. They can go back to the Lord. Even they fall, they will know that they can. We see even pastor that already pastoring the church, they get back into the drug, okay? So, but at least they can stand up again and saying that God loved them. They can go back to the rehab.
I think the most important difference before they know in the Lord, they don't think have a, they just felt no way to go, okay? Once they know the law, they accept the gospel, they accept the salvation. Even they fought later on, they at least they know they can go back to the village. They can get the help. Yeah. They will get the help.
So this year we also started with another drug rehab village called Agape Foundation. So this is the founder of this drug rehab center is ex-Operation Dawn. So he was from Operation Dawn. And then this is an extension of Operation Dawn. They are still very close relationship. So he opened up a smaller drug rehab center. So this is the one you can see that Conrad also helping them. And every so often he will preach in the village. And also they will ask Conrad to baptize the brothers when they accepted Jesus Christ. And we want to show this is this person here. This is a monk. He was a monk for 30 years. And he was involved into drugs. And then he was sent to this rehab village. And he, at first, he was very scared to even take off his, the rope. They think that there was something bad to happen to him. But they pray with him. They took off and let him just be there for a few months. And he just feel that the love from all this brother and sister. So end up, all the brothers. So he end up, he said, I am going to accept this creator, which is so wonderful. So that Conrad has the privilege to baptize him that one day. So he got baptized. So this church, and you can see another baptism there. They are using, I don't know what that called, this plastic thing they fill up with water. So the children play with this, right? But like that is what they can get, then they will get this. And Conrad loved this type of baptism. He said, that is good because I don't need to get wet. So he is just standing out there, so he doesn't need to get wet. So, yeah, so this is something that this is good. So, community development. So I think this is, I have to really, again, thank you for that, your involvement last year in November, you have raised that money for the Mission Fest that go into the Lahu project. So we are so grateful. And first of all, Pastor Dordu of the Lahu, of this Lahu village, the pastor who is going through all these villages, would like me to extend his thank you to all the brothers and sisters in Canada that was helping him and helping these villages in this far, far away place that sometimes people have ignored or forget about them. So, Pastor Dordu, I want to point out this map to you first about this Lahu project. This part is the Shan state of Myanmar. So you have heard about this Lahu project was in the Shan state. And Conrad and Fiona are in here. Mesai. And this is where the church, those are the mountain region that one of the church that you were helping were built in this area. So it is about 4 hours to this city, and then travel another couple of hours, and then walk up to the mountain. That is where the Lahu village was, and where Pastor Dodu is visiting. These are the picture for the first church when they started to build. That you have to see the most challenging for these villages to build church, to build anything, is bringing all the construction material up to the mountain. That is the most challenging. You can see these women. These are bricks in the basket. I don't know how they can carry it all. And children are helping, bringing stuff up. So this is where they were doing.
All the village people work together.
Yeah, everybody works together. And to build, they are so excited, so that's why they want to help. And this is the first church that they started. And of course, it's not as huge as ours here, but it's a place that they can be staying together. They can have their community. We call it a multifunctional church building. So they can not only just for Sunday morning, but they can do a lot of gathering, or they have everything that they can do that. And also even can become a school for the children, because we were told that if there is no building, the government will not send teacher to the village. So that means the children have no opportunity to study. So that is, So that is up here. The church is up in the hill. That where Conrad was getting all his insect bites. I don't know whether some of them have remember that Conrad get all the bites in insect bites on his leg. And this is already, it is still there. The marks are still there. And 2017, we came back and we go to a doctor. Go to our doctor. The doctor took a biopsy of one of the bite, and fortunately, thanks God, that is nothing very serious. But the doctor said that will be on your leg forever.
I went to show you after service.
So this is what he got. That is where he got the bite over here. Before the church was built, they were praying. I wasn't there, okay, but he told me that he was praying up there, and then suddenly this some insect come through. I don't know what's that. And so this is the first church building dedication. So simple. So that is Pastor Dodu. Yeah. And that is his brother. And then after the first church building, we also help. The first church is in a village called Kamasot. And this is a village that we are helping to start water system. And also the second church was built in this village as well, called Village Babiet is the village name. And so this is how they are doing all this. We are helping them with all the water system and all the bricks and everything here. And just want to show you, this is before they have the only this water dripping from here. The whole village come here to do everything here. But now they have the tank. They can collect the water. So this was completed in September 2018. And this one, I don't know how, maybe the tech person can help me at the back there, because this is a little video. I don't know how to. There's a... At the bottom, I think there are... I put that on. Is it possible to run that?
Yeah. Okay.
You won't understand.
Eh? 他来叫个喇嘛不去大便呢哟
Even though we don't understand, but I know that you know this, what does that mean? I think that is so much better for them now. So they have this water, they go there and wash their clothes and things like that.
Everything. All the...
Yeah. Okay. So now even even better is now they have this water tank to do baptism. So they don't need, usually they will go to, I don't have those pictures to show you, that they are usually go to a river or going to a creek to get baptized. I don't know whether you remember last time when we were here, we showed Conrad baptizing a person in the river, that when the person get into the river, it's disappeared because it is all so muddy and dirty, so you cannot find the person. And then when they, after the baptism, they need a clean bucket of water to rinse the person out. So now they are all happy. They do not need to go to a river or a creek. So Pastor Dodu tell us that they are really thankful. And so in 2018, just for your information, 2018, he has baptized 86 people in the La Hu area. Okay, it's not just this village, but everywhere. He has baptized 86 people, and he has visited 6 more new villages in 2018. So how he do it is for his perseverance, and also for the love of Lord, the God, and also because he know that the power of the gospel. So that is, he is so persevere, he need to go to this village that is far, far away and ignored by people. He want to build the cross up into the mountain so people can see this is, they are different because they are, belongs to the Lord. So this is what I love Pastor Dodu, is because he doesn't like smile a lot. He always have a strict face, serious face. Every time we see him, he's very serious. But you can see his heart, that his heart for the people, that he is doing that for the people.
Last time we met him, we talked about something because the Reverend Du, the BBI principal, because of some churches here in Toronto support him to come over. So he did, the Reverend Du, they had to make a trip to the Canada. So we were talking about that. The Pastor Dodu say, I hope one day I can come to the Canada to in person to share the story with the churches who they support. I say, well, you never know. Maybe one day, yeah, he can really can to share the story and share that he's a big vision. That like I always think the first time he said to me, within the 10 years, he want to outreach for 100 villages over in that region. I just say, this guy is crazy. This guy's a little bit, I don't think so. Because I know it's a lot of village over there, but 10 years, you need a constantly, you need to go every other month, maybe you need to go out. Because his church with that region, they also had a 3-4 hour away. So every time he left home to have this evangelical trip, he always left home for the couple week. So his wife and his two sons and one daughter. I mean, the two sons had all had a disability, and just only one daughter is healthy. But anyway, he's a really. Every time we pray, we don't understand each other. We need to go to the translator. But when we pray, we really feel we've been touched by the same Holy Spirit. And even when I don't know what he's saying, he doesn't know why I'm praying about it. But after I can see the tear in the eyes, and because those people, the mountain people is really, even we don't into this area, and those people never ever will have a chance to hear this gospel. Even not that many chance will see the other people, because they really hiding in the top of mountain. The La Hu people is a different than the little bit other Maori tribe people. These people just don't want to contact with other people. They want to isolate in the certain area. So if we don't if we don't go up there, they really have no chance to know the gospel. Yeah.
Okay, so now this is the second building that you are part of it. You are part of it. This is the second building that they started to build beginning of February or end of January. But this is completed now. So this is the second building they were doing. And this is the day that they dedicated the building to the Lord. See, the cross is up there. The cross is up there. So people can see. You see, all these villages come together. That is Pastor Dodu, and this is his brother, also a pastor. So they are helping these people. And this is inside the building. Yep. So it's not big, but they are happy. They can be there. They can worship the Lord inside the building instead of outside somewhere. This is how packed that is. So I was thinking, one thing I have heard, even though this is not from Pastor Dodo, but I remember also one of a pastor from Myanmar also have said to me one time, he said, they are also going to different mountains. He said, I don't blame my people that living that far up the mountain, but I will blame our people if we don't go to proclaim the gospel to them. Because this is where they live, they are so used to there. Maybe they are afraid to come down to the city. So, but if there's nobody wants to go, then how can they know Jesus Christ? They know the Lord. So that's why he said, if we don't go, that is our problem. We should not say it's their problem. They live so high up there. So this is what I can see. That is how Pastor Dodo is doing. So this is the building that you guys are part of it. So thank you. Thank you again. And the money that you have raised last year is more than enough to do this building. And I'm sure that probably can go into the third one. Part of it, part of the money can go into the third building. I'm hoping that by end of next year or the next home assignment or before that, I can send newsletter out and report to you that the third building is built. So I'm sure that by end of 2020, I'm sure that the third building will be completed. So,
we have a lot of, I think the churches in Canada have a lot of opportunity to can serve in the Golden Triangle over there. So we appreciate your prayer and your financial support, but we want to encourage you. If one day we can see you in Golden Triangle, you can come to help us, and we can serve those people together. The language is not the problem, okay? Because we do have Caucasians pastor and the brother and sister come over to our region to help. They have a short-term mission over there. Yeah. This is a 2018, right?
Yes, 2018.
The right 2018. Yeah.
Yes. These are five pastors from five different churches across Canada. They are from West Coast, from East Coast, and from Ontario. They came to us. So even though they don't speak Chinese at all, but we have great time, and they also spend time with our BBI students. They go to evangelize, going to the mountain with us. So we really have a good time together, and they do some workshop for the students, which is helpful, and do workshop with the alumni. This is an alumni workshop, so we have really good time.
Both in Thailand and Myanmar.
Yes. And these are other younger team that come to help in the children ministry. So this is some current project that, of course, the Lahu is the one you are involved with. And so we have two other projects. One is to support the pastor in the Golden Triangle region that to help them either they will go further study in overseas like Taiwan, Malaysia, or Singapore. So we will help them to go to maybe to support them, subsidize them with a little bit of money to help them for the first year. And also some pastor that is pastoring in small villages that they may not have enough money to like to do whatever they need in the ministry or their own living. So we will support them. And the second one is we support the underprivileged children that is in those Golden Triangle region. When the children have to come from the mountain to go to the city to study so that they need the cost to live in the city. So I can just tell you that each student in the, if they come from the mountain to stay in those student center in the city, it costs them about 70 to 80 Canadian dollar a month for them to live and for their meals. Everything. So not their tuitions, because they go to school, they still have need tuition. But staying in the student center is approximately about 70 to 80 Canadian dollar a month that can help a child to get further study that they can stay in a student center. So as we said, August 2018, we have accepted the challenge from CBM so that we become this Chinese ministry team leader. As I said before, we are still learning. So we are still learning. So we have in our currently, the blue area is where CBM has mission in. And the red one is where the Chinese ministry team are in. So we have in Germany, we have in Hong Kong, China, and also in Thailand at the current moment. And altogether, we have about 10, we have 10 co-workers altogether. So those are the German. So those are the German. And this is Conrad Fiona. And please pray for us that we are now in the process of talking with a local staff in Thailand that she will be finishing up her Master of Divinity degree from Taiwan. So we are in the process of talking with her, so hopefully we can recruit her as our local staff in northern Thailand. As because we are become a team leader, we need to travel a little bit more, and also as the ministry in Thailand getting more and more, so we need some people there. So hopefully, if everything goes through well, so she can start in July. So please pray for us. Then, of course, we have a few people in China and Hong Kong. So, we just don't show the picture at this point. So, just for the safety reason. So, this is it about what we have been doing. We were doing for the last little while, and we're just hoping that. So, we'll continue to pray for us as. Now we have more responsibility, and we were saying from March 18 after we left northern Thailand up to end of July that we return to northern Thailand. We need to go on the plane up and off the plane for 15 times. So there's a lot of traveling for us to do. So please pray for us as for our health. And for our energy level, and especially when we were in Germany, poor Conrad was having a seasonal allergy, very serious seasonal allergy.
Thanks, Lord, I have no problem.
Yeah, back to Toronto, he is okay after he's back to Toronto. So we are not young anymore. I was saying we are not young anymore. So I.
Body-wise.
But physically, we are not young anymore. So I think we need a lot of prayer from you. But in our heart, we are still very young. We are still very young. So I know that there is a lot of things ahead of us, in front of us, that we still need to continue. So people ask us, when are you coming back? So especially our friends and my children, they are all asking, when are you coming back? Dad, you are already past 65, so when are you coming back? I think our response is, God called us to go to Northern Thailand. Not until we are clear that God called us to leave, we will not leave. So not until we hear clearly from God. So, but please pray for us. So we need a lot of prayer. And also, oh, good news about our children. People asking, well, some of you already know, we have one son and one daughter. And our son get married last October. And our daughter was married in 2017. So now they have, both of them have their spouse to look after them. So we don't need to worry about them anymore. Okay, thank you.